Swearing, smut, filth, sexual innuendo, or anything LGBTQI++ related, then please fuck off now. If you're still here, strap on in, pun intended, and enjoy the ride.
So, welcome to the podcast. This is the part two of a two-parter with Buck Angel. If you haven't listened to the first part, I recommend getting involved with that and going back and listening to it. So this is part two. Where we left the chat last week, he was discussing around terminology and words that are being policed currently in the US. So let's get you thrown back into that conversation and you can continue listening. Thanks very much, and thanks to Buck again for your time. It was incredible.
It's actually mind-blowing. It really is. And so I'm the guy that sort of always tries to look ahead. And so when I start looking ahead and I see these things happening 2 or 3 years ago, and then I see what's happening today, I'm like, holy shit. I mean, I hope I'm letting all you and your listeners hear what I'm saying. Start doing some research. Start to see what's happening with our language and how we're not allowed to use dyke. Do you know that we're not even allowed to use dyke here in the United States anymore? It's considered an offensive word. I'm like, offensive to who? I was a dyke. Don't you dare take away my fucking goddamn place in this world. Yeah. And I was very, very proud of being a dyke. So you see what I mean? Because it's offensive to somebody or it triggers somebody. Those are all very finely planted words in order to control the language.
And if you own them and you're accepting of people calling you a dyke.
That's right.
Where is the issue? There isn't.
Yeah. Well, the issue is with the other person. You see what I mean? So if I call myself a dyke, and let's say you don't like that, then you say, oh, wait a minute, Buck, that's a triggering word for me, and I don't like it, and it makes me feel uncomfortable. And then I say to you, I'm sorry, my friend, but it's my identity choice. And so if my identity choice does not like, and then that person says, but Buck, it's actually triggering me, and I'm not okay with it. So you have to, that's the conversation.
Jesus.
And I'm like, but then you need to leave the room.
You can't just take words away and say you can't use them. Like,
and dykes existed for years. Like,
but they are. it's actually really distressing to me. And it could be uncomfortable for you. That word could be uncomfortable for you. But that doesn't mean that I can't use it. And I don't do pronouns. That's not my thing. I do not do it. I refuse to do it. I find it actually insulting. Because if you can't tell I'm a man and a he, then I didn't do a good sex change. And that's upsetting to me.
Well, your doctor, considering you're the first ever to go under me, he did an amazing job. Your chest surgery, people would not have a clue.
I got lucky, but I really believe the universe.
Yeah, and when you went to your sex expos and, you know, they had the massive picture of you, and like you said, if I had trousers on, no one would understand what kind of porn it is that I'm doing. So they have to have full frontal vagina on show, bang, straight in your face, and then people know who you are and what you're about.
Mm-hmm. But that's exactly right.
Yeah, but you need to kind of be in people's faces for them to understand, because you are a man, and nobody would second look.
With a female history. Yeah. I grew up, half of my life I was a woman, half of my life I was a butch woman, half of my life I dealt with all kinds of misogyny, all kinds of bullshit. Being a butch woman sucks. People beat the shit out of me on the streets in Los Angeles. I got followed by groups of men. I got all kinds of fucked up shit. I'm not making this shit up. Like, I actually lived as a woman. So I think I get to have some of the conversation.
100%.
Because actually I actually have a real life experience of being a woman. So today women are pushing against trans women because they just want to have the conversation. They're saying, look, you are eliminating biological women from this conversation, which is a different space than a transgender woman. And anyone who denies that is not living in reality, because that's the reality. Trans women were raised as men. Most of the time, the lucky ones actually got to transition at an early age, which means to me they were socialized as women. But a lot of trans women who used to be men, a lot of them transitioned at a later age, which means they socialized a lot as a man. And that's a different experience than a biological woman. I mean, I don't understand why we're even having this discussion when it's a factual statement.
Mm. Mm.
You can't just eradicate your history. Like, you can't just go, those 25 years of my life don't exist anymore. Like, you have to learn from that and then take those things and put them forward as whatever you have become afterwards or whatever you do afterwards.
That's right. So I don't understand why some trans women, and not all, some trans women get very upset when you don't lump them into the woman conversation. I am a man, but I'm a transsexual man. I have no idea what it means to be a man. Do you know that I get that question all the time? So, Buck, what does it mean to be a man? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Hang on, let me get my checkbox out.
No idea. I was not raised as a man. I think I know, and what I want to be is what you see. This is my idea of masculinity and my idea of being a man, but I'm a different man than a biological man because they were taught in a different way than me. I'm actually happy I was raised as a woman. I think it actually gives me a lot of more sensitivity than biological men. You know, I think that I have been raised in a way that's given me different insight into being a man. And I think that's why I have a little bit more compassion at times.
But equally, every single man is different, aren't they?
That's right.
And 100%. So even if, you know, they're trying to say that you're not fitting into that category, like, nobody's the same. And so
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I find it bizarre why people are transphobic in general, and it's normally kind of straight men that seem to cause or have the most issue with it. But how does somebody else's identity and external facing canvas have any impact or influence on any other human being in the whole world apart from who that person chooses to sleep with and therefore hashtag consent?
Yeah.
I just don't understand why.
Well, I think I do. I think I do. It's very much attached to ego. You know that. So when you don't like somebody or something, it's something to do with your own self. Because let's say, for example, I don't like you. Why don't I like you? Well, I don't really like the way you talk to me and I don't like your opinions, which means I don't like you. So now, because you are not actually on the same space that I am, I get to actually not like you. So what happens is I really think this pushback to the trans and transphobia and all of this happens to do with people's own self not understanding what it means. And it's why I spend daily on the fucking internet educating people and putting myself in a dangerous fucking space. Because if we don't educate the world, they just have an opinion about us. And what they see today is a little bit crazy. I'm gonna tell you, what people see in the transgender community is occultish behavior, and it's pushing against people. And it's not the way you make change. You cannot push. Because when you push, what happens? People push back. So now we're pushing on each other. And that's why things become transphobic or homophobic or biphobic or lesbianphobic, whatever you want to call it. Because you know what phobia is? Phobia is fear. And fear comes from no education. Once you educate people on, that's why I put myself out there. And now I have so many cisgender people who love me and actually understand what I'm talking about and actually happy for me. I wouldn't be where I am as a person or even as a business owner if it wasn't for cisgender people. They support my business. People have given me money for my businesses, helped me move. Cisgender people, not transgender people. So, and that's because I actually meet you in the middle. So I really think transphobia, homophobia comes from fear of not understanding who we are. If you sat down and talked to people, they would change their mind about so many things.
Yeah.
But we don't have conversation, we just have pushback on each other.
Yeah, definitely. I know that certainly in our local police, Wiltshire Police kind of put a pride flag basically on their emblem, which was awesome. And we got involved, and there were some people who were kicking off and saying, we don't want transgender people in our toilets because they rape everyone. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, where are you even getting this from?
They're making it up. Absolutely. That's exactly right. They're making it up because they don't like us. Why don't they like us? That's the part that I want to get to. I don't care about any of that. I want to know why women are pushing against trans women and calling them rapists and calling them, there's a reason they're doing that, because they're not educated enough. And then trans women are pushing like, we're women, we're coming in there, whether you like it or not. You know, a woman's restroom that I have used is on some level a safe space. If you want,
you've got your own cubicle. The only thing you do together is wash your freaking hands.
Yes. Exactly, but it's different in the woman's room. I now use the men's room. I can tell you there's a different energy in each space. Men can actually do have sex in there. It is an actual real thing.
Yeah,
everywhere I travel across the world, men are doing shit in the bathroom. That says, they just go in, they shit and they pee and they shit all over everything and it's disgusting. And go into a woman's room, it's a different energy. It really is. It's a much more like, it's I don't know, it just tends to be a little bit more peaceful in there to me, or a little different. It feels like it's a private space. And I think it just comes down to anatomy. And so women are saying trans women have penises, which is not true. A lot of them don't. But that said, they're not whipping their penis out and putting it in their face. That's what they see in their brains. And that's the part of this conversation that is wrong. And that's not what's happening, but that's what they're being told and that's what they see. And that's the sad part of not having the conversation and finding the space that we can let trans women and women coexist in a space together.
I mean, we get called out for being in the female toilet all the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. You
it's one of the worst. It's one of the worst things about going out, like,
yes. In straight places, anyway. In gay bars, no one gives a fuck. But.
No one gives a fuck, but in a straight restaurant, for sure, people are like, excuse me, sir, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, exactly. So I always go, I've got tits and a cunt. Where am I going to be?
Right on. That's a t-shirt. That's going to be your t-shirt for your fucking show. I got tits and a cunt. That's awesome.
And then we could wear it into the toilet.
Yes.
I could just point. Ta-da.
No, we actually just solved the problem.
There you go. Yeah. It's either that or what labia length is acceptable for these facilities.
Exactly. Right on. But, why don't we make the toilets free for all? Who the fuck cares?
Unisex toilet.
Oh my God, we've wasted so much time and energy on toilets. It's unbelievable to me. That just should never be a conversation. I don't give a fuck where you shit or you pee.
And in your own house, you have unisex toilets. So like, who gives a shit when you go out?
Yeah. Just
that's right.
Go and have a shit if you want to.
That's right. You know, I fly a lot. And I'm telling you, on the airplane, there's no men's and women's room. It's actually for all. No one says a thing. Everyone shits and pees in the same fucking toilet and nobody says anything.
And no one questions, oh, it's a boy or it's a girl or it's a...
Just go on in. That's exactly right.
It's crazy. One of the things I read about that you'd spoken about was the Circus of Books that your wife did the kind of filming for, but interestingly...
It's her movie. She's a director and it's her family. It's a story of her family.
Yeah. It's incredible. Like, we loved it, didn't we? We watched it as soon as it was released.
Thank you.
It was really cool. Yeah, so
I think we just found out that she might be getting an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, we saw that.
Twitter. Oh, man.
Do you know, I mean, it's huge, not only because it's my wife, but not only that, the story is very important because it really talks about pornography. And if you don't know this, pornography is like the devil. And so because I'm attached to
porn. I didn't get that memo.
I'm like the Antichrist because I was in porn. It's like, like people are so weird about porn. But that's why this movie is so important, because it, on some level, really, it makes people have compassion for pornography and understand how important pornography was to the gay men back in the 70s and 80s when we didn't really get to see things. I used to go to that shop before I even knew Rachel.
I was going
to
say, you went pre-having your trans operation.
Pre-transition, I did. And
after, and I love the fact that you were like, I was in there and I was watching all the gay guys cruising each other and you're like, one day I want to be fucking cruised. And then literally post-transition, you're there and...
That's right.
Yeah. How cool is that?
I actually made it happen. You know what I mean? I actually like really just made this happen. All I did was I visualized myself looking like this. I'm not kidding. When I was a kid, G.I. Joe was like my fucking idol. Like, I wanted to be G.I. Joe. I wanted to be this masculine man. I visualized it my whole fucking life. And it's when I see myself now, I'm like, sometimes I forget what I look like, and then I'll go to like comb my beard. I'm like, holy shit. Like,
you're a real man.
I actually became G.I. Joe. Like, I can't believe that.
The shop it's was weird. Like the center of the community though, wasn't it? It wasn't just yeah. about porn. It was like
yeah.
the bit that got me the most in that documentary was when they were talking about the AIDS epidemic yeah. and the fact that they were calling up people's parents and they were dying and they were just like, yeah, my son's gay. I don't care. That bit horrific. Really got to me. That
yeah.
obviously it's horrific that their parents were engaging with it, but it was like they became their surrogate parents for all of these gay people that came into their shop for pornography. It was like it was so much bigger. That was the bit that really got to me. I was like, that's yeah. amazing that they were a pillar of the community.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'll tell them, you know, they don't look at themselves that way. And I have to remind them daily that they're heroes. You know, they hired gay people with AIDS when nobody else would. They hired people out of prison. They hired people of color. They hired transsexual women, women that didn't necessarily pass. And these were all the sort of outcasts that nobody would fucking hire. They hired everybody. And they were they're such amazing, loving, beautiful people. But they don't know, they don't even look at it that way at all. They don't even get it. So I really appreciate you saying that. And that actually, even I've watched that movie 10 times. I still cry on that because, again, I'm 58. I was around during the AIDS epidemic. Do you know that I lost almost all of my friends to AIDS?
Just horrific.
It wiped my friends. So I have a different outlook on life, that the younger generation has never had to deal with any of this stuff. And they take a lot for granted today. You can just be trans. You can just be gay. You can just go get your surgery. It was not like that when I was growing up as a young trans man.
Hugely stigmatized.
It's so, I mean, my God, people were killing gay people because they thought they could get AIDS. Like it was insane what was happening back in the day. And, you know, people don't really still talk about HIV and AIDS. It's still here, stronger than ever. It's still out there. And we just sort of like pushed it to the side. You know?
And your adopted daughter, Rebecca Armstrong, she is a huge kind of AIDS advocate and goes around doing lots of talks and...
Yep. Yep. And she's had AIDS for, well, now she's only HIV. She doesn't have AIDS anymore. But that said, 30 years in that she contracted AIDS 30 years ago. So she's a survivor. And she's one of the very first women to be openly with HIV and AIDS to talk about it. You know, and she was a Playboy playmate. And she dealt with a lot of shit and a lot of stigma back in the day because women didn't get AIDS. Only gay men did. So she sort of put a little like prick inside of the AIDS that only gay men get it. And here's a woman who had AIDS that really made people start to think about it in a different way, that anybody can get AIDS, anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just terrifying. Yeah, isn't it?
It is.
And thank God for PrEP. Like, it's amazing that...
Yeah, but the problem with PrEP, I do have an issue with PrEP only because people look at it as a party drug. So they're like, oh, I can just take PrEP and fuck my brains out with no contraceptive, you know, with no safe sex. I'm a big safe sex advocate. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to literally take it daily forever.
For the rest of your life,
For the rest of your life, yeah.
Yeah, it shouldn't be used as a contraception for preventing AIDS.
And I think people have a misconception of that. And I'm scared that HIV will have another upswing because of it. You know what I mean? So I think they're getting misinformation about. So really, I think people need to understand, do your research on anything. Do your research on me. Do your research on transgender community. Do your research on the LGBT. Do your research on things that you're not certain of. Because do not trust what people say on the internet. It's all a bunch of bullshit. Unless you actually take the time to look at something, you will not be getting the right information. I believe that totally. Yeah.
And like you say, look at it from all angles and work out actually what is their view and why are they thinking or saying that and why is the other person thinking saying that.
That's right. Yeah, because people just take stuff. I can tell you for myself, people will take stuff out of my interviews and literally they'll literally take it out of context. So if you take something out of context and put it there, you can make it look like a bad thing, right? I could be talking about transphobia and I could say, you know what, la 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 la, and then I was transphobic about it. And it was talking about-
just take that bit.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Happens all the time. And people literally take my words out of context instead of looking at the whole picture. So this is a dangerous part of the community. It's easy to trip people up or to make people think something. J.K. Rowling's, immediately the transgender community just fucking shit all over her without having a conversation. So then that became a divide. And now if you talk about J.K. Rowling's without being anti, you're transphobic. And so I refuse to have that conversation because there is no conversation. There's only either you're right on this side or on this side. And that doesn't change the world. That actually creates a bigger divide between us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish you could talk to J.K. Rowling and kind of maybe...
I'm going to.
Oh, yeah.
You watch me. Watch me. I will get to her. Because if nobody else has the balls to have the conversation, I'm going to have the fucking conversation with her. And I'm a tranny. So go fuck yourself, everybody. And I want to have an actual conversation with her. And I you watch and see. Yeah. I bet you that she'll
have a conversation. I don't doubt it. If anyone's going to do it, you will.
That's right. Because I'm being... Because I'm being in a way that I'm giving her space to actually talk about it. You can't shut somebody's voice down just because you don't like what they're saying. Yeah, I'm not into neo-Nazis and I'm not into fucking homophobic assholes, but I'll sit down and talk to you. Because if I don't sit down and talk to you, you will hate me forever. But maybe on some way you actually sit with me as a human and a human and you say, you know what? Buck is actually kind of a cool dude. It happens to me all the time. People talk shit and I'm like, well, let's have a conversation. And then they're like, well, actually, I misunderstood you. And now I understand you. Honestly, my friends, you should have every kind of person you dislike on this show, because then you'll be able to have a conversation.
Trump?
And start to see. Go ahead. I would speak to that. I would speak to that guy in 2 seconds. He's just a lunatic.
Yeah.
That's all. He's a fucking lunatic. And, you know, you can't really be rational with a lunatic, but you can sit down and have a conversation in hopes to see or maybe kind of whittle your way through that. But when you just write people off, there's certain people you're never going to get through, which is Trump, Hitler, Mussolini. You would never get through to them. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But J.K. Rowling's, I disagree.
Yeah,
I think she is willing to have a conversation. I do think that.
I think you would listen to her. You would listen to what she was saying. And then I think she would listen to what you were saying. And maybe you wouldn't agree with each other. But
yes.
It wouldn't just descend into you both swearing at each other and telling each other to fuck off. Like, you would just end up agreeing to disagree, but you'd listen to each other.
Or understanding more, and she can explain herself more, which then, actually, that's not how I meant it, or this isn't, you know, I think it would become...
And you took the time to read it, my friend. You actually took the time to read it and it changed your mind. Most, you know, there was a guy who's in the transgender community who's kind of a big deal here in America. And he literally said, nobody should read this. I read it. I'm telling you it's transphobic. I'm like, what? You can't tell people not to fucking read this. And who are you to say you're the authority and you read it and now nobody should read it? That's the kind of shit that I hate, because this person is actually a very big trans person in our community, and all of these youngsters are going to go, okay, they told me not to read it, I'm not going to read it. What does that do right there? It immediately puts you in a space that JK is transphobic, yet you didn't even read it for yourself.
Yeah, you've been told by someone else to
that's right way. That's right. And that's indoctrination and that's cult behavior, because you're telling your minions not to read it, they're not going to read it. But if you told them to read it, then they'll
and
read
come up
it
with their own conclusion.
Right on, my friend. Right on. It's like we're in high school again, or some fucking bullshit school system.
Yeah,
mean girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, mean girls. mean trannies. Like, we're
love it. One of the questions I was going to ask was, RuPaul obviously does drag queens, and you know, he certainly has voiced that he doesn't want to do drag kings. It's not something that floats his boat, which I think is fair enough. Everyone's entitled to what their thing is. But would you want to do maybe a drag king? You could be the drag king daddy for
actually a great
show.
Idea. I should do a show. That's actually a great idea. Yeah. The drag king.
I think you should.
RuPaul's a friend of mine, so maybe I can
Podcast.
I will. The thing is this. Here's the deal. He doesn't want to do it because it's not his space.
Exactly. And that's cool, but why don't you do it?
Yeah, why don't I do it? Because, you know, again, we have these fucking shit in this fucking community where if you're not a trans woman, you can't speak for me. Or if you're not a trans man, you can't speak for me. Nobody's speaking for you. We're letting you into a situation. So, you know, RuPaul was raked over the coals when he was using the word she-male on his show that had been there forever. And he called, you know, he called it she-male instead of email. So everyone lost their shit. You're transphobic. If it wasn't for RuPaul, none of us would be sitting here fucking talking about shit. Yeah. And there we go, ripping apart our elders, ripping apart the elders that created this community is a very dangerous space to be in.
And why do people say that you can say Shiro? And like, she-male's just like a pun, and he has puns all over the fucking show.
It's a fucking joke.
It's a fucking joke, but you can't make jokes anymore because everyone's too goddamn sensitive about it. And you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. If you don't learn to take insults and you don't learn to be kicked in the balls, because you will get it, I don't care who you are. Every single person in this world will get kicked in the balls. Or if you don't learn that that's part of the world, you're in big danger. And we're not teaching our youth, especially trans youth, that you're gonna get your feelings hurt. People are gonna misgender you. People are gonna fucking call you she, he, they, it. It's a reality. I deal with it daily. People still call me she, as if it hurts my feelings. You have to know yourself. Yeah. And if you do not understand yourself, you will not make it in the world. And you cannot get hurt by every butt hurt, by every goddamn thing that gets thrown at you. You'll never make it, ever. You'll be a fucking totally like coward person in the corner. And never
actually
be a
you're giving that person power if you're That's enabling right. them to hurt you. If you're That's actually right. like, yeah, I'm a dyke. And what? Like, what's it going to do? It loses its power because you own whatever That's word right. it is that they're telling That's you right. that you are. And it's like, you're not telling That's me anything right. new. You're not telling me anything that's groundbreaking here. It's like, yep.
No, but we gave, we didn't give the tools. We're not giving the tools to the youngster. We're giving the triggered tools. We're giving the, you're a transphobic tools. We're giving the shut down the conversation tools when I can't have a conversation. That's the problem I see, is that we just shut conversation down. Nobody in my community, well, lots of people, but some people in the community won't have a conversation with me. They'll literally call me transphobic and block me. That's it. I'm like, what? Like, you just called me names and I'm coming back at you and telling you, no, that's not true. Let's talk about it. And they literally shut the door in my face. I'm like, I don't understand what's happening here, because if you want to call me transphobic, do it, but please have an explanation for it instead
Why
of blocking
so, that off me. And then I can come back and say, no, that's right. misquoted, or that was part of a full
what are you
conversation
by blocking someone.
Well, they're gaining no conversation. And what they're doing is they're making themselves right. You see what I mean? They're making themselves right by saying, boom, no conversation. I'm right. You're wrong. Done. That's not the way of the world. And, you know, we in America, they took out what we call debate class. Do you know what debate class is? You know, when you learn how to debate each other. People were getting their feelings hurt. Students were getting their feelings hurt. So they literally took out debate class out of universities in America.
Is that not the whole purpose of that? To stop people being offended?
I'm just like, okay, we're breeding a whole new generation of fucking babies. And it's going to be a nightmare for those kids. And I, you know, that's why I really speak like this, because I want some kid to say, wow, I really like how Buck has his own convictions. He's there, he's sitting. I want that kid, that one kid, I don't care if it's only one, to see me and say, I'm allowed to have my own opinion. Yeah. I'm an individual before I'm a tranny. Like, that's the thing. You're not just a trans person. You're a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah.
But they can also articulate their opinion.
That's
and
right.
listen to somebody else articulate right. their opinion and take the bits, critically analyze them. And if you don't agree, that's fine. It's right. completely fine not to agree with somebody.
Yeah. Right. But you need to You're be able to convey that. Your opinion in a constructive way and not in an assaulting way, and right. to listen to the other person's view. And then you can understand where each other are coming from.
That's
not
right.
just talking. It's stupid.
Well, and also slurs, when you create slurs, TERF is a slur, true scum is a slur. All of these new like lingo that they're creating in order to create a divide, you know that. Now, a trans, what is it? Trans exclusory, radical feminist, whatever the fuck all that is. It's just a way to stop It's a way to stop the conversation. I have been called that many times because, as you see earlier, I talked about why are we not having the conversation? Women are allowed to have this opinion and trans women are allowed to have this opinion. It doesn't mean I agree with both. I agree that the whole situation is wrong. Mm-hmm. But I get called a TERF all the time because I don't condone, I don't say what you're saying is 100% right, because it's not. It's not 100% right. So, you know, throwing slurs around only just, you know, deters the conversation and just puts it over here.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks a million.
No, I really appreciate you a lot. And so when you know, just keep going. And if I can help you get any guests on, you know, whatever I can do to help you kids, it's all
well. Great. RuPaul would be amazing.
Yeah, I'll do some research and what I can get you guys. You guys should get some more trans activists on.
Yeah, that would be awesome. If you know anyone, just hook us up. That would be great. Yeah,
totally.
And if you make millions from your drag king repurposing off, then you can buy us a freaking beer.
I'll kick you back. Right on. I'll kick you back for sure. No,
love
thank
it.
You, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks a million,
Bob. Send me everything. When you're ready to put it up, send it to me. I'll post it all over the place, okay?
Oh, you legend. Thank you so much. What's your Instagram and Twitter and everything
so everyone can find you? Instagram is Buck Angel. Twitter is Buck Angel. Oh, watch out for Twitter. I'm fucking crazy on there. Twitter's a shit show, for sure. Buck Angel on there. And then my Facebook is official Buck Angel is my page. So
cool. And you're buckangel.com, aren't you, getting all your products?
And honestly, anybody out there who really feels that they need to have a conversation with me and they're too scared to put it out on the internet, reach out to me on any of those platforms and I'll have a conversation with you.
Cool. And next time you're over, hook us up and we'll put you up.
I usually perform at the Box in London. Invite you as my guest if you want to come.
Oh, that would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Fab. Have a beautiful night.
And I'll you, lots of love. Take care, buddy. Thank you. Bye.
Wow, what an incredible guy. We are so lucky to have had him on. He's so genuine. So if you do want to get in contact with him or ask him a question, then do reach out to him on his Twitter, Insta or Facebook. He'll be only too pleased to engage with you and to chat. Just a reminder, if Buck's opinion doesn't actually agree or coincide with yours, that's okay. It's not a problem. Everyone can have their own few beliefs and constructs, and that's okay. Just please don't be mean to him. He has enough shit to deal with, just in general, with the death threats and horrendous things that people say to him. We want to be inclusive and we want to ensure that we respect people's views. If you have differing views, that's fine. Get in touch and maybe you can come on the podcast and chat. That's okay. We're keen to kind of chat to everybody, so let your voice be heard. Thanks for joining Spill the LGBT for another week, and we hope you tune in next week. We're going to have a few guests coming up and probably the grow bag and myself will have another episode, just the two of us chatting, probably utter shit. So we hope you enjoy. Thanks for joining Spill the LGBT. Lots of love, guys. Latest, my lovers. Thanks for listening to Spill the LGBT. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't done so already, please rate, review, share and subscribe, as that helps other listeners find this podcast. For you fabulous, positive, constructive people, feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. There you can help give us topics, link us to exciting people to speak with or interview, or give us things to discuss in future episodes. This is a podcast for our community, so want it to be engaging. Thanks very much!
Latest, my lovers.